and welcome to the Raptor Show on the Sportsnet Radio Network, brought to you by Campbell's new Chunky Spicy Soup. It's time to get fired up. Make sure you find the Raptor Show where you listen to podcasts. Most importantly, you find us at 11 a.m. these days.
And we don't have entrance music anymore.
Yeah, well, it's fine. I hear it on the pod. Yeah, we're at 11 a.m. where we're, that's the programming note for this week.
Not tomorrow.
That's right. Yeah, tomorrow we have, what do we have in place, Blake?
Jays Talk Plus tomorrow, Toronto Blue Jays opening day.
All right. What do you got for tomorrow?
Jonah Bierenbaum of The Score is going to come on and do the hour with me. I did a couple season preview podcasts on the Jays Talk Plus, or I guess it's the Blue Jays Talk podcast feed this week, one with Ben Nicholson-Smith, one with Keegan Mathison. Get us ready to go. We'll get the final, you know, opening day roster confirmation today or tomorrow morning probably. Yeah, set that thing up. It's here.
There you go.
Double dipping for the next little bit.
You will be double dipping.
Got my last fantasy draft tonight. Big money on the line.
Wait, how many fantasy drafts are you in?
I'm in two leagues.
Okay. I saw a very long spreadsheet.
But they're like pretty serious like money leagues.
Okay.
And
like the most obscure player that you would draft. That's like draft eligible that you would like actually roster.
I'll bring up my team right now. I'm going to try to find it. Like, okay, so this is the most. This is like the most obscure if you're not even a casual fan. Like, this guy is good and like startable. Have you ever heard the name Christian Encarnacion Strand?
No. Wow. What?
So,
what?
Name doesn't fit on the jersey. First baseman for Cincinnati.
Okay.
Kind of the next in the line of like Thick King mashers. Right. But yeah, like that guy is like he's in your starting lineup.
Got you.
So it gets a little obscure to the casual fan pretty quickly.
That is very obscure, and I've never heard any of those three names.
Yeah, probably the
in use together.
So in the one keeper that I'm in, we have prospects as well. So I won't give you one of those, but probably the most like obscure. Like I have a guy on my relief pitching staff named Andrew Nardi, who like no one has heard of. Like
That's one of our producers of this program.
Yeah, exactly. I got Miami Marlins, you know, setup men on the roster here. Yeah, it's not quite as. I don't play. Do you play fantasy basketball?
I sometimes. Yeah, I used to more often, but less and less because most of my friends don't really want to do it. So I'm like, what's the point? I could just play some random people. I don't want to do that.
Yeah, so I find fantasy basketball to be less enjoyable than the other sport. I don't know why. It just doesn't like lend itself to fantasy all that well, I don't think. And like all my boys from university who still have like a keeper league and stuff, I'm like unofficially not allowed in the league because like...
Oh, you're too good?
Well, or like that's their belief. So every year when they do their draft, I'm like basically just like the roast master during their draft. I like go and hang out and just chirp all the picks and stuff. It's a good setup.
Yeah. No, I think my issue with fantasy basketball was just like, especially I guess playing like the regular like nine cat whatever, and it was just like, all right, it's the middle of the week, and now I need to try to win rebounds. Let me go stream like, I don't know, man. Like
Jonte Porter.
Oh no. I'm not taking him.
I'll be completely honest. I have had
like
friends.
Jackson Trace Davis or whatever. And I'm what's the point of this? Like, why am I picking him up midway through the week?
And this like this silly. Time of year, like I've got friends from home, not to put this person on blast. I won't say his name, but like I haven't heard from this person in months. And like, hey, this is on Monday. Is Emmanuel quickly going to play on Wednesday? Like I need this for fantasy playoffs. Like, am I going to get two games out of him or is he not going to be back until Sunday?
Yeah.
Emmanuel Quigley's not back tonight, by the way. Him and RJ practiced yesterday, but they are, they're going to give it another day. The Raptors have 3 days off after today to kind of ramp up the conditioning.
Yeah. Well, it was good. I actually did go down to practice. Oh, by the way, it's Will and it's Blake.
We didn't really introduce ourselves,
but you know,
I have one small news thing before you get into the practice report from yesterday.
Oh, okay.
Raptors 905 are presently playing. Yeah. Their second to last game of the season. It's 11 a.m.
Don't tell me one of your screens is 905 game right now.
Yeah, it is.
Oh, okay.
So it's a 11 a.m. game down at Paramount 5 Food Center. But the big news item is Marquise Noel's back.
Oh, wonderful.
Which is really, really nice to see. So he got waived by the Raptors, obviously, off of his two-way because he was going to be out for too long a stretch of time. The 905 were able to add him to their roster. If you cut a two-way guy and nobody else owns his G League rights, there's like a little clause where if he's played enough games for your 905 team or for your G League team, you can then get his rights for the G League. So it's a way to like kind of jump the line if you cut a two-way and keep him in the system. The hard part, though, for the 905 and Marquise Noel is if you don't play in a game, the team doesn't keep your rights into future years. So because Marquise is able to get into a game here, the 905 will now hold his rights moving forward.
Okay.
Which, that doesn't matter if he makes the G League or if he makes the NBA next year, if he's on a two-way or something. But if he goes back to the G League next year, the 905 will have his rights. I would also say, I don't know that this will happen, but possibly on the radar of when Kobe Simmons's 10-day is up, Marquise Noel has been very, very well liked in the organization since they signed him as an undrafted free agent on draft night last year.
Yeah.
He was obviously, like, had he been healthy on a two-way, he would have been getting some of these opportunities. Maybe he gets these two games in and the Raptors give him the same kind of reward they gave Kobe Simmons with a 10-day here.
Gotcha.
I'm not reporting that. Like, I don't have that on anything.
No.
Just knowing the organization and knowing, you know, how tough Marquise Noel's season has been and how much they liked him prior, maybe we see him on a 10-day after Kobe Simmons.
I wouldn't mind doing that. I mean, I've also been curious about Kobe Simmons, but he will have, you know, tonight, for example, to showcase or continue to showcase what he's got with the Raptors and also on Sunday as well. But, you know, beyond that, I actually would really love to see Marquise, like, get a chance to get some minutes and take the court. By the way, Kobe Simmons, once he took the court, became the, I believe, 29th Raptor this season.
Yeah, franchise record.
Yeah, and counting.
Yeah, crazy that even in the expansion year, they didn't top that.
Right.
When you would have churned a ton of guys. But I guess rosters are bigger now, too.
Rosters are bigger now, but like it has been just an incredible amount of roster turnover. Yeah, 29 players have taken the court and worn a Raptors uniform. And that doesn't even include guys who were actually signed but didn't actually get into the game. So, for example, like Justice Winslow, for example, was here on a 10-day, but I don't think he ever got into a game.
Did he not? I thought he got garbage time in one of them.
No.
Damn.
Yeah.
That sucks.
Who was the other guy that got the...
Well, Mo G was the guy who got the 10-day point.
But yeah, see, he's been getting
And now he's back.
Right.
So yeah, I think Justice is the only guy who hasn't been in a game. I think everyone else who got called up, like Ron Harper has played, Marquise Noel has played, Kyra Lewis played.
Yes.
I guess technically Spencer Dinwiddie was on the roster for a minute.
I was going to say Spencer Dinwiddie. I mean, Christian Coloco was like fully with the team,
yeah, so
but obviously
had
32, was unable to play.
32 different players technically be Raptors at some point this year.
It's been an exhausting year. It's been a lot of turnover. Yes.
And I guess, technically you could sneak another one in there when Kobe Simmons is 10 days up, although Marquise Noel wouldn't be a new player.
He would be
a repeat of one of them.
Yeah.
Okay, so practice yesterday, and to highlight just how much turnover there's been, you were telling me you were watching the shooting competition that at the start of the year,
my goodness,
shooting group was Dennis Schroeder, Malachi Flynn, Ron Harper Jr., and Garrett Temple. Mm-hmm. And Garrett Temple's the only one left. So it's him now, Bruce Brown, and who else is in that?
That was it. Okay. That was it yesterday. It was actually because
they don't have enough healthy guys for four-man shooting groups.
Yeah, we've been seeing the evolution of this, and we've seen like, you know, a lot of players, like at least 10 guys, I would say, you know, have participated in this like post-practice shooting game. It's the corner right beside where the media does the media scrums. So it's always something that I can end up watching because there's a lot of waiting in between when we wait for players or coaches to come over to the scrum. Yeah. So last night it was just Garrett Temple and Bruce Brown. And I have to say Garrett Temple had a massive lead. He had like four or five chances to close that out and he didn't. And Bruce Brown got him. I was a little devastated on Garrett's behalf because I think he also lost a little bit of money in that as well. But the bigger thing is Emmanuel Quigley was in the background.
Mm-hmm.
He was just getting free throws up. It wasn't anything like too strenuous. I know Darko's talked about sort of just like him and RJ needing a bit of reconditioning and also just, again, them taking their time. But it does seem like they're like moving back towards whenever they're able to play. Again, no one's going to press them into like, you need to come play or, you know, whatever. But passing along the news that at least Emmanuel was in the gym.
And RJ, I don't know if you saw him yesterday, but he's around.
I guess he was around.
Yeah, as my understanding, Sunday they were both back in, even though Sunday was not officially a practice day because it was off of a back-to-back, but they've been back around and in the mix since Sunday. But yeah, they're going to give them all the time they need, and it might not be linear. You know, you might not feel a little better each day. But
sure,
and from the conditioning standpoint, there's also, you got 3 days off after today.
Right.
So, like, you could really make sure guys are ready, get a couple practices in. I mean, the last thing you need is one of these guys come back and then immediately you have another injury or something like that because they weren't all the way ready.
The way this season has gone, we have been cursed. It wouldn't be that improbable. One of the bigger things was, and Darko explained this, because obviously a lot of the focus yesterday was not about basketball. It's just about Jontay Porter and sort of what's going on. People trying to obviously find out a lot more about this story. And the Raptors did get the team together yesterday to sort of reiterate what are the rules around like this, which I feel like shouldn't need to happen. But then again, like, it's the very, very smart thing to do. In fact, I hope all, you know, players around the league or all organizations have done something similar.
Yeah, you would think so. And look, like Garrett Temple has explained, and like we've known for a long time, the NBPA and NBA try to do education on this every year at the start of the season. They also, you know, as part of the rookie symposium, this is a big part of it as well, or I shouldn't say big part, but it is a component of it, trying to educate people. But as this becomes more prolific and more everywhere, the need to remind a little more often and maybe go in a little more detail about what exactly this looks like, where exactly the gray areas or the risk areas are. We have seen today the NCAA is starting to take steps now to have the states in which gambling is legal make college player props not allowed, because the risks for college players who sometimes make nothing or are on NIL deals or whatever, you know, the implied risks there are even greater. I haven't dabbled in the college player. I don't know. Can you do the eighth man on Yale and his over-unders during the season? Like, I don't know. Maybe you can. But yeah, so already we're seeing kind of, I mentioned yesterday that the NFL at the end of the 2023 season made their rules a little more strict, at least as far as betting on actual football. I believe they loosened them on betting on other sports, but made them stricter on betting on the sport of football. We're seeing the NCAA push on this now. That's probably not immediately related to Jonte and Shohei. That's probably related to some of the feedback and some of the discussion around this year's March Madness. But yeah, it's people are kind of checking in a little bit, as they should. And, you know, the Raptors as an organization aren't going to be able to comment on this publicly, similar to when, you know, there was the Jalen Harris investigation going on, there was the Terrence Davis investigation going on, as much as we would like
the a lot of investigating going on.
Yeah, as much as we would like the organization to, you know, take a hard line and make a statement, messaging-wise, hands are a little tied until the NBA's investigation is ongoing. And in some of those cases I mentioned, there were also legal proceedings ongoing. But yeah, usually it's going to go the NBA. The NBA has kind of, hey, we're investigating. Don't, like, obviously Darko can answer questions. Right. Bruce Brown can answer questions. But in terms of like, hey, did you guys know about this? Can, you know, is the medical trainer who would have been.
I imagine a lot of people in the Raptors organization will have to answer certain questions. And honestly, like, I feel bad for them to have to go through this, because I'm sure this whole process is stressful and unnecessary. This whole season has been difficult anyway. And like, you can kind of see the light at the end of the tunnel, and then this last thing happens. And it's massive. It's probably the biggest story that's happened with the Raptors this season.
I mean, it's one of the biggest stories in the NBA this season, because, like, so many stories. Right. Like, it's also, this was kind of building, right? Like, the NBA mentions the league pass betting integration. Tyrese Halliburton opens up about feeling like a prop. JB Bickerstaff talks about getting threats from people over gambling-related things.
Right.
And then right as the Shohei thing happens, boom, there's an NBA investigation into Jonte. Or the activity around Jonte, I should be careful to frame it.
You know what I mean? Like, this is like the last thing the Raptors would have, like, all right, like, okay, now we got to have like the team therapist, like, or the physiotherapist and stuff like that. Like, they're going to have to be answering questions.
And like,
it's ridiculous.
If you were ranking all the positives about the Raptors season, prior to this, the Jonte story would have been one of the nicest, like one of the only really nice good things that happened.
Yeah.
And now there's this part of it. So not only does it get added to the negative column, it probably erases a positive column.
Yeah. It's a cursed season. And again, when you see the Basketball Reference page and it says 29 different players under the Raptors section, that's how you know it's cursed. But maybe looking ahead to next year and potentially things getting better next year. I guess, especially with the team as currently constructed, we talked about Gary yesterday, what the Raptors might do there. We saw Bruce Brown talk to the media yesterday. The funniest thing is Bruce answered like 4 minutes with just like nonstop Jonte Porter questions, or like, you know, gambling questions essentially. And then at the very end, he's like, damn, no hoop questions?
Yeah.
Then he just walked off.
So Bruce, when you paid Jonte $10,000 for his jersey number,
Goodness. Well, in any case, hopefully next year's a lot better. And, you know, you have options, obviously. I think Gary and Bruce are probably the two biggest pieces in terms of whether or not the Raptors have financial flexibility. Because I think what people are really looking for is, like, how can next year not look like this? And I think it starts very much with the draft and free agency. So what does it look like right now with the Raptors' options going into the offseason?
So Raptors have right now for next year $93 million committed to eight players. They'll also have, you know, if they keep their picks, those come with a set salary. There is Gary Trent Jr., who is an unrestricted free agent, but you have what are called the cap holds. Mm-hmm. So if you want to maintain the rights to Gary Trent Jr. so that you could go over the cap to re-sign him, he counts as a hold on your books. So you can't go and use all your cap space and then come back and re-sign your own guys. There's an artificial hold on those guys in the interim. So you have $93 million committed to eight guys. There's Gary Trent as a free agent, Bruce Brown's team option, which even you could decline that team option and then he's there as a cap hold. You could pick up the option and trade him away. You could pick up the option to keep him. You could decline the option and sign him to a lesser deal. They've already kind of done a move similar to that in locking up Kelly now ahead of time so that he doesn't have a big cap hold on the books. And then there is the Javon Freeman Liberty's under contract. I didn't include him because he's only guaranteed for 100K, but he's in the mix there as well. And then you have Emmanuel Quickley, who's a restricted free agent, who this is a fortunate piece of flexibility. Quickley has a very small cap hold relative to the salary he's going to make. So you'll do your free agent business and then circle back on Quickley. So $93 million committed to eight guys. Then the Trent, Brown, Quickley, and draft pick question marks. The cap is projected to be $141 million. The tax is projected to be $172 million. So you have some flexibility here. You can create $50 million in cap space or more if you want to. If you were to just let Bruce Brown and Gary Trent walk, renounce their rights, maybe you convey the pick to San Antonio. The pick ends up seventh, so you don't have that. You can get to $50 million. You can get a little bit more. Chris Boucher will be an $11 million expiring contract.
Right.
Someone might be interested in that, or you could get rid of it for like a future second or something like that. You could clear more space. What will eat into that space is Gary, Brent, the next Quickley deal. And the big one is there's a big swing in terms of where the pick lands. So if you get the number one pick, that's a $12.6 million salary. You get the number six pick, it's $7.5 million. That pick from Indiana that's currently projected to go 17th, that would be $3.8
million. Yep.
There's, you know, the number 31 pick, technically you don't have to sign. You could give a two-way, but it's going to be the minimum contract.
Yeah.
You know, I assume you'd sign one of those four, like the Andrew Nembhard, 4 years, two of them are guaranteed at the minimum or a little above. Here you go. So if you get the number one pick, and the number 17 pick and the number 31 pick, suddenly you're looking at that's another like 17, 18 million gone.
Right.
Whereas if you don't have the number one pick, you know, the Pacers pick falls to 20th, suddenly you have a little bit more flexibility. This is all to say there are a lot of paths to create 50 million or more.
Mm-hmm.
There are some arguments to not do that because maybe the free agents you could get aren't as good as Bruce Brown. I don't know why I called him Brett Brown earlier. 76ers on the mind, I guess. They're not as good as Bruce Brown or Gary Trent, or maybe those guys won't want to sign with you, or maybe you do end up with the number one pick and suddenly it makes sense to stay a little above the cap or near the cap. There are also trades which affect all of this. My big question to kick back to you is, so this is a pretty spicy headline item of you could create 50 million or more in cap space without, you know, not too difficult. You lose some guys, but you create significant cap space here. Will, if we assume that Paul George, LeBron, James Harden aren't coming here, Tyrese Maxey's contract would be matched by Philadelphia even if you maxed him out. And then even guys like Tobias Harris, Buddy Hield, Klay Thompson are probably a little on the older end for supporting this core. Yeah, Kyle and DeMar maybe you could bring back too. But like, in a non-joking way, like OG and Pascal are like at the top of this free agent class.
Yeah.
Probably not realistic there. Do you see a free agent landscape where carving out $50 or $60 million in cap space is particularly interesting to you?
It's interesting in terms of content. Like, you know, it'd be great if we put in the headline, can the Raptors sign OG and Pascal this offseason? But like, we all know that that's bait. That's not going to happen, you know? And I think realistically, if you carve out that much cap space, maybe you can sign one or two guys. You probably would need to because, again, like you mentioned, there's not going to be that many committed players on your roster in that meantime. You'll also be letting go of like a Gary or Bruce. And, you know, I know like it's not the most exciting thing, but at the same time, like they are rotation pieces for you.
They're both listed as top 15 to 20 free agents in this class also.
There you go. So I think realistically what you could do is probably take on some expiring salary and or just like some dead salary and acquire some more pieces that way, but that's not so exciting either. Yeah, I mean, the list is just not particularly great, you know?
Who would be at the top of your list?
Okay. Top of my list is, like, we're talking about, like, pieces that would be probably making, like, 15, like, between 10 and 20.
Yeah, we're excluding, like, max guys that aren't coming here or would have their contracts matched.
How about I'll throw some names in.
I think I know who's going to be top of your list. Okay. He's a longtime future Raptor.
Honestly, Malik Monk, if you want to go more offensively or more maybe two-way, De'Anthony Melton would be kind of nice.
Okay.
I feel like, especially when you're looking at the starting group, and again, if you're letting go of Garrett and Bruce, you probably need to get in a guard. I think the starting five needs a guard, somebody who can really guard, like defend.
Yeah. Whether draft position. Or bench, you're going to need a backup point guard somewhere.
Actually, I don't mind De'Anthony Melton, actually. That was when I looked at this, when I did this practice, and I was like, I don't know how much he'll probably make. Like, you know, he's missed some time too, but like, I don't know, man. I mean, he's coming off, I think, making like five or six. It's not like a big deal.
He's making $8 million this year. Okay, he had signed like a four-year mid-level.
Is it crazy to double that and just say, like, you know what, join the team for 3 years?
Yeah, I mean, probably not in terms of value. Like, you'd try to get him at the mid-level first and like...
Yeah, sure.
You know,
yeah.
Dennis style where it's like, hey, we'll guarantee you multiple years.
You think you'll have multiple teams at the mid-level for a guy like that?
Yeah, multiple teams at the mid-level, for sure. I think
you can beat him a little bit, though, because you have, you know, more room.
Yeah, you do. And, like, this is a guy who has, like, he started 58 games for a very good Sixers team last year. He's started for the most part when he's in for the Sixers this year. You know, analytically, a guy who grades out strong, not a lead point guard in terms of passing skill, but does have some defensive versatility there.
Yep.
And even though he's, like, been in the league forever, he's still only 25.
Yeah.
So, like, far as, like, timeline fits go, like, you could even look at, hey, you know, like, Tyus Jones or Monte Morris in that kind of flexible could start come off the bench. Yeah. But those guys are 28, 29.
That's a little small
or will be. Yeah. And so De'Anthony Melton, I like that name. It's not where I thought you were going with this one.
Thought I was going?
I thought you were
going
to say Malik Monk and THT. I thought Talen Horton-Tucker.
Well, Masai's favorite is finally hitting unrestricted free agency, I believe, and he's only 23.
Yeah, I like that our main targets here are guys who are in their early 20s and look 40. Talen Horton-Tucker and, I guess Malik Monk even looks a little old for his age, but...
Yeah. No, THT definitely looks like Al Horford.
Yeah.
Like, aged.
And THT's a weird one because, like, he has had a lot of opportunity in Utah to expand his game, and it hasn't really happened. Like, he's been the same guy for four years now. And
also, if you really wanted him, you just made a deal with Utah. And not to say that, like, you could have, like, gotten him in that specific trade, but, yeah.
He just, like, I know he's only 23, so there's some developmental upside, but he's been, like, a five-year full-time player in the NBA, and, like, he's been the same guy statistically for 4 years now, basically, and the three has never come along. Like, he's shooting a career-high 32% on threes right now.
Right.
That's a little tough with the pieces you already have here.
Yeah.
He does offer a little bit more defensive versatility than what you currently, like, he's 6'4", but he plays a little bigger than that and can guard point guards.
Why do you think Masai's liked him so much? Or
is that even true?
Why do you think the Raptors have been rumored to like him so much?
Reason that he's been rumored to be to the Raptors is that Lakers fans, he was the guy they would put in trades.
Sure, okay, but
and like that, I'm not joking. Like, Lakers fans are loud, and there are a lot of them. So, like, THT constantly being in trade rumors while he was a Laker is, I think, a real thing. Like, that is why it seems like he's been tied to the Raptors, is the Raptors had pieces that other teams would want, and Lakers fans would throw out, THT and a first or whatever. It's the new HBAP.
Well, okay, this is I'm looking this up. David Mandelman reported this back in 2022.
Was this around the not Kyle. That would have been too late for Kyle.
The rumor deal was Toronto's willing to move a first-round pick and Kem Birch for the 21-year-old guard.
Okay.
Lakers, however, declined the deal, opting to keep THT before eventually trading him this past offseason to Utah Jazz for Patrick Beverley. Whoa, they should have taken that deal.
Yeah. Sure. Like, at that point, I don't know. He's on a three-year, fairly affordable deal at that point. He's only 21. You haven't, like, it's different when a guy's 21 in his third year versus 23 in his fifth year, and he's the same guy, right? Yeah, like, you've got two more years of him being. I think that is a reasonable type of target, but in terms of excitement about him, it worries me a little bit that he went to a situation where on paper there was a lot more opportunity to expand his game and it didn't happen.
Right.
At a time when, like, Utah has had a lot of guys click there and expand their game, even though they're not successful at the team level, you know, guys have taken big steps there.
Okay. Markelle Fultz, speaking of the need at backup point guard.
Yeah,
crafty, still young, obviously. Orlando.
He's a dog defensively.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, I feel like Orlando, I mean, maybe they'll just retain him. But then again, they also drafted Anthony Black. When's he going to play? Right.
They have Jalen Suggs, and they extended Cole Anthony.
So exactly.
They have kind of their scoring bench guard.
Probably the guy out is the guy who's going to free agency.
Yeah.
You like Markel?
Man, you call me a sicko for liking these guys who are defense first and can't shoot. And then you're throwing out Talen Horton-Tucker and Markel Fultz. Markel Fultz hasn't hit.
I don't even know if THT is defense first, man.
Yeah,
I type out Talen Horton-Tucker, I always end up typing out talent, which is usually what the nickname a lot of people started giving him was Talentless Horton-Tucker.
Wow.
Quite rude.
Markel Fultz, by the way, 1 for 11 on threes this year.
That's it?
Yeah.
Wow.
Right. I like Fultz. I think Fultz is like a reason. Like he, even if you look back last year, he didn't hit the three last year either, but he was really good last year for Orlando. It's just they have so many guards and they got good enough that you can't really, you know, force it there. I think Fultz as like a backup guard is a completely reasonable type of guy to target.
Okay.
Again, he's not going to help the spacing stuff, but yeah, you need guys who can defend and guys who can capably handle. Like, he averaged almost 6 assists for, like, yeah, he had 4 straight years of averaging 5 to 6 assists and, like, being not efficient scoring because the three wasn't there. But, like, he shot 51% for the field last year.
Yeah. No, I mean, he's a quality player for sure. Yeah. He would definitely get in the rotation as well, and I think he would be an upgrade over Bruce.
I mean, he'd be immediately their best, like, point of attack defender.
Yeah.
Against guards. Yeah.
It's funny because we did begin this with like, you know, the Raptors, hey, we got $50 million to spend, but all of a sudden we're at winners now.
Yeah.
And we're shopping for a reasonable deal.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, who did you like reasonably?
Yeah. I mean, look, prior to the Kelly Olynyk deal, Nick Claxton was probably my top target, like a center who fits the timeline.
He did not do well in that game against the Nets.
No, he's had a weird season too.
Yeah.
But he's still only 25. Like I think he would be a team in a position like Toronto should target a guy like that, but the Raptors have Jakob Poeltl and Kelly Olynyk.
Can you even promise him to start? Because they definitely can't play together.
No, like I think this is off the table now unless you were to turn around and trade one of those centers. Prior to that, like Nick Claxton, Isaiah Hartenstein were like at the top of the hey, these guys are still young. Mm-hmm. Hartenstein really fits their style of play in terms of a passing big.
I would love
who can play a couple different styles. I wanted him when he was in the G League. It bugs me. There aren't a lot. Like if you were okay going a little older and a little more experienced just to like raise the floor, like Chetty Osman will be out there. He's been fine for San Antonio, but he's like 29.
All right, we're getting to like we're thrift shopping.
Like I'm trying to find some size though because the Raptors need that.
You and like Najee Marshall?
Chetty's like a 6'7", 2'3". I don't really like Najee Marshall that much.
Okay. What about like, Jalen Smith? He's got a 5.4 million.
He's picking
player
up
option.
That option. I don't think he's going to beat that on the.
Well, the Raptors could beat that. I mean,
yeah,
you know, can incentivize.
I mean, I wanted Jalen Smith in that trade just because, like, I wanted anyone in that trade. I think, like, among forward types, like Derek Jones Jr. maybe makes some sense. He's been starting for a good Mavericks team.
But I feel like he should play on teams that, like, have a lot of playmaking creation around it.
Yeah.
And then, therefore, he doesn't need to do it because he doesn't have it like that. But, I mean, if you just use him as a cutter
another guy who's,
stuff.
Like, only, like, a show-me three-point shooter, like, not a very good three-point shooter. But also, like, this is how thin the forward class is.
No, trust me. You guys can do this exercise yourself and look at the forwards.
There's
and you
no,
can, like, obviously go, like, take out all the 30-year-olds who are going to make a lot of money or, like, OG and Pascal. Like, I mean.
OG, Pascal, Tobias Harris, Paul George, LeBron. Like, those are the guys with size that you would want to target. And then after that, the next class is like I guess you could make RFA plays for Obi Toppin and Sadiq Bey. Sadiq Bey, I feel like Atlanta would match whatever. And Obi Toppin's like a rotation player, but he's not changing the trajectory or anything. It's I hate to say that. Like,
so we got a lot of picks in a bad draft and we got a lot of money in a bad free agency class?
Yeah. And the free agency class skews like really guard heavy.
It does, yeah. There was a lot of guard options. I mean, you had Grayson Allen in here. You want to? You know what? Never mind. Okay.
Yeah. Grayson Allen's like the peak. Yeah. Like he's never actually done anything. Like he's had a couple plays early in his career and at Duke where like he did some dirty stuff. But for the most part, it's just like I feel like NBA Twitter doesn't like give him quite the respect that his season is deserving because like he looks like Ted Cruz and went to Duke. So everyone has like preconceived thoughts on him. But he's having like one of the best like role player shooting seasons ever.
He really is. Yeah.
Like he's leading the league in 3-point shooting at 48% on almost six attempts a game.
Didn't he have that first half against the Raptors where he made like eight threes?
Okay, but everyone's done that this year. Dante DiVincenzo did that.
Yo, Dante is on schedule to do it tonight.
Yeah, he's going to do it tonight. He's been red hot. Who was the... Oh, Sam Hauser had 10 in a first half the other week, too.
Oh,
I guess
that
wasn't against the Raptors.
That was like a 10 for 10.
He hit a bunch, yeah.
That's my ideal pickup run. It's just hitting 10 threes, no twos, finishing with three times whatever, you know, amount of threes I end up hitting. Yesterday it was just two, so I only had 6 points.
You're the March Madness guy, Gokey. He's like, I took 257 threes this year and eight twos.
Why would you take a two? It's one less, you know?
Yeah. And you got to run more. You got to go further.
Is there one on this list that, like, after this whole discussion, you're like, okay, let's go get that guy? Because, again, the Raptors had the ability to pretty much get whoever you want here based on the amount of money they have. It's just like, should they?
Not really. Like, I think Malik Monk is the best player that we've talked about. But, like, the Raptors... I mean, he would, like, the Raptors just need talent in the door. I'll worry more about fit after the fact. But, like, the fact that none of the names we've talked about are particularly strong defensively, unless they're the ones that absolutely can't shoot, is worrisome. And we'll do more of this in the coming weeks. But it warrants then exploring, well, what does this look like if you keep Gary or Bruce Brown, or you trade them for other salary, and that's how you use that cap space?
I'm going to throw a little bit more than the mid-level at the Anthony Melton.
Yeah.
And call it a day.
Okay.
Yeah. And I want to keep Gary as well.
And by the way,
I just need some shooting on this team.
So, if that's what you do, then you can. This is the thing, is like, if you don't want the whole $50 million, if you're like, we can get the guy we want for $17 million, $20 million, whatever, then you can keep one of these guys and still clear out a little bit of space.
Sure.
You'd also have then the room exception instead of the mid level exception. So that's an $8 million exception. You could double, but like some of these guys we talked about, you could get with the room. Jalen Smith will definitely take the room exception. Najee Marshall definitely take the room exception.
Yeah, well, let's do that. Wow. Yeah. What a riveting offseason.
The Raptors have not had the best luck with the biannual exception. So I don't know about the room exception, but.
Well, we got to look ahead because it's hard to look at the games currently, but it is time now for Between the Lines, brought to you by Bet Rivers.
Forgot I had to do that. Oops.
Take a chance. Thanks, man. Raptors are plus 13 tonight at home against a pretty depleted Knicks team, but the Knicks have continued to get results. You know, they continue to play Josh Hart and Deuce McBride 48 minutes a night, and that's part of why they get results. They also play super hard. I'm also trying to acquire a Josh Hart jersey for my friend Josh Hart, so if at all possible the Knicks are listening to this, please help me. But in any case...
The Knicks, notoriously great with PR. By the way, so IQ and RJ are still out. Scottie, Poeltl, Boucher, Carton, Porter all out. Randall, OG, and Mitchell Robinson out for the Knicks, and Alec Burks is questionable.
Right. But again, they're going to play their top guys. Brunson's going to be there.
They've won six of the last seven with all these guys out. Their only losses to Denver.
That was a hard-fought game against Denver.
Yeah, they're one of only four teams in the league that's top 10 on both ends. It's Boston, OKC, Denver, so the three best teams in the league, and the Knicks.
You know what this sets it up for? A Precious Achiuwa revenge game.
Yeah, the Knicks are also the number one team in the league in offensive rebounding, which if you've watched a Raptor game recently, bad news.
It's a bad matchup. I don't think the Raptors and the current state are competitive against anyone, so I would probably just stay away from betting in favor of the Raptors.
Yeah, plus if they're up 20, Tibbs is still gonna play his starter, so you don't even get that. You don't even get the fake comeback against the Knicks.
Yeah, you're right. Well,
that was Between the Lines, brought to you by Bet Rivers. Take a chance.
Yeah. Well, we're gonna take this break. I've been your host, Willow. You've been listening to the Raptor Show on the Sportsnet Radio Network, brought to you by Campbell's new Chunky Spice Soup. When we come back, let's talk to Mark Stein.
Diving deep into Leafs, Raptors, Jays, and NFL. The JD Bunkus Podcast. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the Raptor Show on the Sportsnet Radio Network. I'm your host, Wayne Malouf. Be joined by co-host Blake Murphy, and we're joined on the line once again by Mark Stein of the Stein Line. Mark, I appreciate you getting up a little earlier to do the show. You know, we changed the time slot, but you know, you're a pro and you're here.
I'm not gonna lie to you guys. I'm not a morning person. I know it's almost lunchtime in Toronto, but this is kind of like the 7 or 8 a.m. equivalent for me. So I'm gonna see if I can reach my usual level of effectiveness.
Mark, we're going to throw riveting topics at you and we're going to wake you up, right? We're going to ask you about things like what's happening with Paul George. I thought he was going to sign this extension. Is there a chance he leaves the Clippers? If so, where does he go? We'll talk a little bit about Lakers-Bucks that took place last night. But obviously the big question around the league right now is the Jontay Porter investigation. And I'm curious in terms of what you've heard about this whole situation and just how much teams around the league are sort of reacting to the fact that, like, there is an ongoing investigation involving a player who may have influenced, you know, certain betting lines or, you know, people at this point know the story. But, yeah, what have you heard about Jontay Porter and this whole investigation?
I have to say there hasn't been a ton of conversation about it in my circles to this point. And, you know, maybe that's just a reflection of the early stages of this, or just that, you know, we're just still getting a handle on it. But look, I mean, it, you know, it's been a week now. You know, the Ohtani thing obviously has rocked baseball. And, you know, since then, it's just been this string of gambling-related headlines in the NBA. And, you know, just personally speaking, and, you know, if I'm going to really be focused on my sphere here, I did an email interview recently with the legendary Bill Bradley, the former Knick, the former U.S. Senator, and we did an email Q&A. And naturally, I asked him, how much are you watching the Knicks of today? What do you think of today's game? You know, are you a fan? And you know, so he explained, you know, that, you know, once a Knick, always a Knick, how much he's still watching them and following them and obviously hoping that, you know, the Knicks can finally end this five-decade championship drought. But the thing that kind of struck me was he said the one turnoff he has with today's game is gambling. And so just asked him for more on that, why. And you know, he's, you know, his comment was, it's a scandal waiting to happen. And then literally in the next 9 days after I published that, you had Tyrese Halliburton coming out and talking about how he feels like a prop. And then you had JB Bickerstaff in Cleveland sharing all the stories about, you know, the noise he's heard from gamblers and, you know, even how his phone number was obtained and then there's threats, and now the Jontay Porter story. And so I guess it just, again, this is just like a 9 or 10 day span. And it just, this is the world that the NBA has willingly entered into. And it's not just the NBA, it's all professional leagues. And frankly, it's all of sports media too. So I know that I'm not sure the audience has a huge appetite to hear me lecture about, you know, the perils of gambling, because, you know, how many podcasts do all three of us listen to that have, you know, gambling thrown in your face every other sentence? So I mean, it's the new reality, and the league is going to have to come to grips with it. But there's always the obvious fear that, you know, a story like this will emerge and that this ain't going to be the last one.
So, Mark, I know you're a big soccer guy, and soccer, this has been more a part of the everyday for a fair amount of time. It has existed, you know, team sponsors when you look on the field, the ability to gamble in Europe and things like that. When you look at what's happening in the NBA, I guess the naive optimist view and probably naive is that, well, this is the learning curve and we'll figure it out and it'll become more manageably normal, like it is kind of in soccer, where obviously we're like, there's still gambling addiction and there's still the odd player that gets sacked every, you know, once or twice a year or whatever it is that Will said yesterday. But it's more normal and feels more reasonably integrated as part of it rather than this new large thing. Do you see a path for that for the NBA to find a way to where it's a less insidious part of the everyday, or is it kind of, you know, the toothpaste so far out of the tube already?
I mean, you hope that that's the way it plays out, but, you know, I don't know that I'm smart enough to be the guy who says these are the 3, 4, 5 steps that need to be taken to get there, because, you know, I'm by no means any kind of expert on the gambling world. But yeah, look, it's just, you know, one of the other things I forgot to mention was, you know, within this last, you know, 9, 10 days is when the league announced that oh, yeah, and also now you're going to be able to place bets right out of League Pass, and that, you know, betting is going to become basically embedded function of League Pass. So it's like, look, the league, everybody, and it's not just this league. Every league wants to maximize its revenue, and this is where the revenue is right now. But there are going to be very sad and troubling stories along the way. And, you know, I think the leagues, their general position is going to be that they're going to live with them, because obviously, again, maximizing the revenue is the number one priority for them. But yeah, I mean, we're all kind of learning our way through this, I guess. And there are going to be some serious challenges, to put it mildly.
Yeah. I mean, I think the analogy I brought up yesterday was with like something like the EPL is like, if it reaches an equilibrium, right, of like gambling is there and the sports leagues are sort of like the affiliate with the sports books, like it might be similar to what it is in soccer, which is like half the teams have like a very prominently placed, partnership or a brand, or like in the cases of soccer jerseys, like, you know, you have a club crest that's on your right side, but like otherwise, the main logo is actually an ad as well.
I was I was just there, and yeah, obviously the Premier League is what we all see here in North America. But I went to two lower league games. I went to a game in the third division. The league is called the Sky Bet League One. League itself literally has a gambling partner as the title sponsor of the league.
Right.
So the constituency I'm thinking of the most here is the public, because, I have a junior in high school and a recently graduated high school student, and like the way they've grown up, I mean, basically, you know, you have a casino in your pocket now. You know, it's just, we didn't have that. I certainly didn't have that as a kid. You know, I was playing fantasy, you know, fantasy sports just kind of emerged in the 80s, and I played fantasy everything in high school. But it's different when, you know, today's young fan has, you know, that casino is in their hand or their pocket all day long.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's
a challenge.
It is a challenge. We'll see where it goes. Moving back to basketball, the Lakers Bucks last night, no LeBron, but the Bucks still managed to lose. AD as a defensive player of the year candidate.
Why is that making you laugh so heartily? Why is that so funny?
No, there's something about the Bucks this year where there's such great promise, especially like you make the Dame trade right at the eve of the season. It's like, oh my God, imagine if he ran a pick and roll with Giannis. And like the whole season has just kind of fell a little bit off with them. And obviously they changed the head coach. Doc Rivers comes in. He gets off to an auspicious start. He's gotten better and gotten more buy-in with the group. But even when they feel like they're on track, they still have some of these like notable losses. So, yeah, I just thought the last night was another chance for them to, again, just continue to show that they're steady. But AD, Defensive Player of the Year candidacy, though, I don't know why AD wasn't like at so much front of mind. I don't think he's like even the leading candidate. It's probably Rudy Gobert again. But where are you at with, I guess, just that game in general, where the Bucks are, and also AD, Defensive Player of the Year candidacy?
Yeah, look, I mean, for the Bucks, that was a disastrous collapse. But I think the great Sean Grandy in Boston had a stat last night after that happened that there have been 40 19-point leads this season that have been erased. And so because, of course, it just happened to the Celtics when they had a 30-point lead and lost in Atlanta. So the reality is that in today's NBA, it does happen. And I know I have, you know, one of my trusted sources in the Western Conference just loves to throw at me that, you know, a 20-point lead is the new 10-point lead, or a 19-point lead is the new 9-point lead, and we need to change our way of thinking there. So it's like, the Bucks in general have been much better since Doc Rivers has got there. And yes, that is a very bad loss and a discouraging loss to lose at home to the Lakers when you're up almost 20 and there's no LeBron James on the other side. But do we really want to make a huge deal about one game? I don't know that we want to make a huge deal about one game. I mean, the bigger issue, the more staggering thing to me when I look at Milwaukee is that, what are they, 11 games behind Boston? I mean, Boston has an 11-game lead in the East. You know, an 11-game lead is like, that's the difference between, you know, 1-9 in the West.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, it is ridiculous the way the Celtics have dominated the Eastern Conference. But on the Lakers side, AD's been fantastic. I mean, he has been tremendous all season long. But the reason he's not in the defensive player race is because individually he might be the best complete, you know, five-tool defender there is in the league. Mm-hmm. But the Lakers are only 16th in the league in defense. I mean, that's been the shocking thing, that they've been, you know, as a group, as good as AD is as your anchor, because they've had no Vanderbilt for so long. They have issues on the perimeter. They haven't been a good defensive team. You know, in the year they won the bubble championship, they were basically the best defense in the league. Mm-hmm. We saw them in the in-season tournament game, the way they played defense against the Pacers. But, you know, just as a team, they don't defend like that.
Mm. Yeah, that's fair enough. I mean, it's going to be difficult to win in that case. But it is, every time you watch AD, especially in these, like, really big matchups, you're like, damn, like, unless it's basically Jokic, like, he really does an amazing job defensively. And it's just like, he might just go through this whole time without winning one of those. Before we leave LA, and I guess this is the last question to you, Marcus, we do have to, we did cut from 1 hour, 2 hours down to 1 hour, so we don't have that much time. No Paul George extension. And that's been something, I guess it was just assumed that the Clippers would be able to hold on to the whole team there. And obviously they got Kawhi to lock in. Where's the deal for Paul George? And if there's no deal for Paul George, where could he potentially go?
Well, the Sixers are certainly hoping that that stays the case and that Paul George actually makes it to free agency, because the Sixers have all this cap space and want to make a splash, and there's not a ton of free agent optionality there. Look, I think the expectation around the league is still that the Clippers will figure this out. But yeah, it's been more than 2 months since Kawhi's deal. And Kawhi himself was among the people in Clipperland saying that his expectation was that, you know, his quote was something like, pretty much everyone's going to be here, or something to that effect. So look, James Harden isn't even eligible for a contract extension until the offseason. But again, the league-wide expectation has been that Paul George would resign there. And the fact that it hasn't happened yet, I mean, it does keep alive the hope for teams in free agency, and that list starts with Philadelphia, that George makes it to the open market.
That will be very interesting to see if he would rejoin the Eastern Conference. And I mean, at least on paper.
Again, I want to underline and say that I expect him to stay in Clipperland. I'm not to the Fair point enough. Yet where I see him leaving, but people are looking at it and wondering.
Yeah. All right. Well, Mark, we appreciate you and all your insight, and we will call you again next week. We'll leave you more time as well, because I feel like this is only a half the Mark Stein experience, you know? That was our fault as radio hosts. We left too little time here.
All good. All good. We will make up for it.
There we go. All right. We'll wake you up again next Wednesday. Shout out to Mark Stein. Well, you know, before we go, actually, time now for today's spicy take, brought to you by New Chunky Spicy Soup. Are you ready to get fired up? So, this is just formulating now, but the Clippers have had a really interesting time. They had obviously that phenomenal stretch, 25-6. They were just mowing down teams. They were doing really well. James Harden was locking in. There was all those stories like, oh, he gets all the bigs together to work on pick and rolls. They stay after the, you know, like, can you imagine they actually work on basketball at work? Like, unbelievable. Like, you know, and everyone's healthy and like, wow, Kawhi's playing back-to-backs. And then all of a sudden, they start to tail off post All-Star break. They've kind of been really underwhelming. They've dropped a couple of games. And then Ty Lue comes out and says, I think we're kind of soft. He's like, I think the question was posed like, do you have an identity? And he's like, yeah, I think our identity is being soft.
Ooh.
And my spicy take is like, you guys just got to relax. All right.
That's why Harden's closing out on Kawhi's corner threes, right?
you guys just got to relax. First off, like, obviously for them, they're going to want to maintain their spot, right? There is a chance that they would slide into like the play-in territory, but realistically, they're not moving up in the standings. They're 5 games behind from number 3, and they're what, at least 2.5 games out of the play-in. You guys are going to be okay. The spicy take is just trust that when you get Kawhi to the playoffs, you're going to be perfectly fine. That's a spicy take, and that's as spicy as it gets today. That does it for us. I've been your host, Willow. You've been listening to The Raptor Show on the Sportsnet Radio Network, brought to you by Campbell's new chunky spicy soup. It's time to get fired up. Big thanks to our guest today, Mark Stein. And yeah, we'll be back tomorrow. We will not be back tomorrow. We're back Friday.